Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
The great scientist Albert Einstein said, "If I had an hour to solve a problem and my life depended on it, I would use the first 55 minutes determining the proper question to ask." And karate legend Ed Parker said, "If you don't ask the right questions, I can't give you answers. And if you don't know the right question to ask, you're not ready for the answers." Hi there, and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Curing Back Office Blues show. I'm Alicia Butler-Pierre. What did you think about those two quotes I read? I shared them because they remind me of the adage, "You don't know what you don't know." That's the purpose of this podcast, to close the knowledge gap when it comes to business infrastructure, because oftentimes it's so unspoken of that people really don't even know to look for this type of assistance or this type of support. They don't even know that business infrastructure is a thing, in fact, to put in place. And in this last episode of season 3, Ask the Experts, I want to share with you a way to build business infrastructure by telling you a story that leverages the information that each expert this season shared. You see, when your business grows fast, you may find yourself at the mercy of your customers, your employees, as well as your vendors. Turnover starts to increase, as well as fines, late fees, and customer complaints. There's probably inconsistency in the way your products and services are being delivered as well. And despite your best efforts, you either don't know where to find help, or if you do find help, you learn that those resources are reserved for either larger companies or manufacturers. This can be a devastating blow to your ego and everything you've worked so hard to build. This is where business infrastructure can help, because it serves as the foundation to scale your business profitably and sustainably. In 2007, I created a methodology called Casinu as a way to create business infrastructure for fast-growing companies. It actually consists of 7 different elements, and it covers the areas of job task identification, allocating roles to those different tasks, creating organizational charts, as well as records management systems, and that is for both digital as well as physical records, laying out workspace, and finally business processes. And the way it works, kind of giving you a 50,000 foot overview level of how this methodology actually works, the very first element is a prerequisite to everything else, to all of the other elements. In that first element, what I call the business parts analysis, you literally want to identify every single task and activity that is performed in your company, no matter how mundane, no matter how repetitive or complex. You want to get all of that information onto paper. That also includes the job tasks and activities that you may not currently be performing, but that you recognize you need to perform. Once you have all of that information in place, you then want to figure out how you can group together those activities that are similar in nature into departments. And the reason that's so important is because the identification of those departments, those tasks, and then ultimately the people who will perform those tasks in each department, that actually serves as the foundation for how you will create your organizational chart, how you will create and organize your paper records as well as your digital records or electronic records. It also determines how you will physically lay out your workspace, as well as helping you to identify those business processes that need to be documented in order to achieve a consistent product or service. Once you actually apply this methodology that I created, it will actually help you answer the following questions. It's going to help you be able to answer what work needs to be done, who will do that work, how are people organized to manage and communicate when it comes to the work, how are records and workspace organized to do that work, and lastly, how is that work done? Now, if you're curious about how I actually came to create this methodology, let me share with you the story of how that came to be. And what I'm going to do is actually tie that into every single topic that each subject matter expert shared with us this season. It all started with an idea. Just as Kimon Hines explained in episode 31, everything in business starts with an idea. And I can recall my friend Louisa Kamau telling me that I needed to find a way to package my services because at the time, honestly, I was just so happy to get any work from anyone that I just accepted everything and never really turned down any type of work. There was no discretion whatsoever. And she and I were talking one day and she said, you know, you really need to find a way to package your services. And I remember telling her, I don't know how to do that. I have no idea. But what I then did was I took a trip to the mountains of North Georgia and I rented out a room at a bed and breakfast and I sort of barricaded myself in there, I remember, for at least 2 or 3 days. And it was very interesting being up there in the mountains because I had absolutely no cell phone reception. There was not a TV in the room, no Wi-Fi. So it was just me, myself, and I. And I'm sure it's of no surprise to you that the ideas just started to flow. It was crazy. And what I did, I started to write down on different index cards every single type of service or project that I had provided or worked on up to that point. Now, again, this was back in about late 2006, early 2007. So I had been in business at that point for about 2 years. And I started to notice themes as I looked at all of these index cards that I spread out across the bed that was in the room. I started to notice that there were themes, regardless of the industry that the project was associated with, regardless of the geographic location, also, honestly, regardless of the size of the business. I know I talk a lot about small businesses in particular, but these were also things that I noticed in working on some projects for much larger companies as well. And as I noticed those themes, I started to group things together. What were the things that I was working on pretty consistently, regardless, again, of the industry, the size of the company, geographic location, all of these other factors? And it actually dwindled down into 7 distinct areas. And that actually became the 7 elements that I just told you about in this methodology. So then I realized, okay, all of the work that I've been doing up to that point had been very manual. And I realized now that I had an actual methodology in place that consisted of these different elements, I also had a basis for a software. So it was really in my attempt to automate the work that I was doing and streamline the services that I was providing, I realized, if there's a way that I can actually automate that, that would be even better. And as fate would have it, I remembered attending a Society of Women Engineers meeting. And that's where I met Steve Wigmore. And Steve and I have kind of been joined at the hip ever since. He helped me get intellectual property protection, not only for my methodology, but he also helped me file a non-provisional patent application for my software as well. So whenever I have any questions about intellectual property protection, I just go to Steve. And he guided me through that process of protecting all of the intellectual property that came to be associated with this methodology and its implementation. So it's very similar to the advice that he shared with you all in episode 27. Now, at this point, I had successfully figured out a way to package my services. I had even gone so far as to give it a name as an actual methodology. I even secured intellectual property protection. And a true test of whether or not the methodology would work, obviously I applied it and have been applying it ever since for different types of clients, but I really needed to be able to practice what I was preaching. So I actually put my own company through the methodology. Very rigorous, but it was definitely worth it. And because I'm such a tactical person, I knew how to execute in terms of thinking of everything as a project. And so when Kim Farmer stopped by in episode 36 to speak with me about how to actually craft a project, starting with scoping it, figuring out everything that needs to be done, who are the people who are going to help you accomplish this, honestly, that was never my issue because I'm already a very tactical person. I'm the person who's all about the operations. I'm all about how to get things done, how to actually do things. Looking back on it, though, a huge mistake on my part was not having a strategy, an overarching strategy. I was just out here doing things, being very tactical. I'd hear some things along the way and I'm like, oh, that sounds really good. I'm going to go ahead and try to do that in my business too. But I never was able to link it or tie it to an overarching strategy. Man, do I wish I had had that conversation with Mark Pegues, the strategist that you heard from in episode 34, because if I had had that conversation back in 2007, I think I would have gotten to where I am currently in my business a lot quicker because I would have known exactly what things were in alignment with the overall strategy versus those things that were not. And I hope that makes sense to you right now. And if I had had that strategy, I would have also recognized much earlier on the need to actually raise my price. People were coming back and giving me the feedback like, wow, this was great. This was awesome, Alicia. This was so valuable to me and so valuable to our company. Wow, I got this at a steal. And even though that was their feedback to me, they didn't realize that it was almost like kind of driving a knife through my chest because I realized I wasn't charging a price that matched the quality and the value that I was actually providing to my clients. So if I had met John Ray, who back in episode 33 spoke to us about this very thing, raising your price to match the value that you provide, I also, again, would have achieved certain successes much earlier on. But it's all about knowing what you know and then recognizing that there are some things that you just don't know. And I also realized, as Charles Green described in episode 32, I had to really look at the key numbers. I had to figure out a way. Now that I have this methodology in place, I'm starting to promote it. I'm doing a better job of branding myself as a subject matter expert. Now the business is starting to come in kind of fast and furious. How can I provide this service in a cost-effective way that won't abandon the small business community that I'm so incredibly passionate about? So I knew very early on, this is one thing I was able to figure out, was that employees were definitely going to be the most expensive line item in terms of overhead. And so I did something that Sherry Heil actually talks about in episode 28. I realized that my business model would not consist of having consultants in-house that would actually help provide these services and execute and implement this methodology for our clients. Instead, I would actually start to tap into other freelance contractors, as well as consultants and other subject matter experts, in order to keep the overhead as low as possible and charge the best price for my clients. And now that I'm charging the right price, I'm targeting the right customer or client, I've added more people to my team, I have a proven methodology that has worked time and time and time again, I'm now able to scale my business. And part of that scale has to do with this podcast that you're listening to right now. If I didn't have some of those other key people, processes, and tools and technologies in place, trust me, I would not be able to do this. You don't see what I have going on behind the proverbial curtain, but trust me, there are a lot of people doing things behind the scenes. This is exactly what Dee Williams was talking about in episode 26 when she talked about expanding your empire. Back in 2006, actually, let's go before that. Back in 2005, when I first started my company, I never in a million years would have thought that I would eventually not only just provide consulting services, but that I would write a best-selling book, that I would have a podcast, that I would have a blog, that I would have a newsletter, that I would have online presentations and case studies, that I would start venturing into videos. I could not have imagined that. And if I did not have my business infrastructure in place for my company, I won't say that I could not expand. It would have been very difficult. I mean, look at me now. It's 14 years later, and my work is still not done. And I want you to understand that as well. It is not about achieving a state of perfection. Nothing about what we do in business is static. It's constantly changing and constantly evolving. And I'll just share with you some of the things that I'm working through right now as it relates to what some of these other subject matter experts this season talk to us about. One thing that I am constantly also looking at, that I'm sure many of you are as well, are technologies, software in particular. So I was really excited when Garrett Massey stopped by in episode 30 to talk about how to start getting different technology tools, in particular software that you have, and getting these tools to actually start communicating with each other to make what you do that much more efficient and that much more streamlined. And look, I have spent a lot of good money on bad decisions over the years. That's a big part of why it's taken me 14 years to get to the point where I am right now. Because all of the decisions that we make in business, there is a certain level of risk that is involved. And this is what Rob Brown spoke about in episode 29. He shared some very specific tools that we can use to help minimize that risk as much as possible. And you can best believe that moving forward, whenever I have, especially if it's something that has a pretty significant cost investment associated with it, you can best believe I'm going to be tapping into some of those tools that Rob shared with us. And as my company continues to grow, I will be sure to do what I need to do to make sure that the culture remains welcoming and that it's not compromised. So I'll definitely be leveraging some of the advice that Lakeisha Poole shared in episode 37 about using culture to drive that business transformation without losing yourself in the process. And I also know that as things continue to grow around here, it's also going to mean having to have core set of actual employees and not just independent contractors. And as I take on those new employees and they become these new frontline leaders in my own company, I will definitely be tapping into the tips and advice that Victoria Rogers shared in episode 35. So all of this that these different experts shared with us this season can help you get to that next level in your company. Take a look at all of those books, websites, podcasts, articles, blog posts that they shared with us. Pace yourself and make sure you start off with your strategy. There aren't a lot of people out here talking about business infrastructure from a subject matter expertise point of view. But there is someone actually that I found all the way in Leeds, England. His name is Paul Nicolaides, and I was so happy when we met each other on LinkedIn several months ago. Paul and I had a heart-to-heart, one-on-one kind of conversation, and I wanted to get his opinion on what business infrastructure actually is and why it's so important. So take a listen to what he had to say.
If you think about how we do things, so in terms of business, how we deliver something to a customer, you need the right setup in place to enable that delivery. Now, a well-defined business infrastructure model is all about structure, and the pivotal ingredient to that structure is people. People make things happen. Tools and processes, while important, are enablers. So it's important that your infrastructure be designed to enable people to do great things and build a culture based on doing great things.
I love that. I really love that definition. Very succinct. Why, in your opinion, is business infrastructure so important?
Because, again, it provides that structure. Without structure, you have chaos pretty much, especially if you're a large enterprising business, in which case people can go off in all kinds of directions and produce different outcomes. And if you know what kind of outcome you want and desire to deliver value to your customers, you need to provide that direction and provide the infrastructure to enable that to happen.
Do you find that many small business owners are simply just unaware of business infrastructure? Well, first, I should back up a bit. Do you work with small businesses, or what size companies or clients do you work with?
We work with medium to large clients. However, we do collaborate with small companies. The shared office where we're located is full of small businesses. So we collaborate on quite a lot with these businesses just to engage really and make sure that we are fully aware of what works and what doesn't in the business landscape.
Sure. So back to that original question, do you find that your clients, regardless of size, that they in general are unfamiliar with business infrastructure?
I think the larger clients are familiar with business infrastructure, but I think they overlook it. It is something that's in the background, something that exists and you can't actually see it. So therefore it's overlooked. I think smaller business aren't necessarily aware, because when you're a small business, you don't necessarily need it when you're starting out. It's when you want to grow, and sustain that growth is when you start to feel the pain of not having a defined business infrastructure in place. Without structure, you have chaos pretty much, especially if you're a large enterprising business, in which case people can go off in all kinds of directions and produce different outcomes. And if you know what kind of outcome you want and desire to deliver value to your customers, you need to provide that direction and provide the infrastructure to enable that to happen.
Do you find that your clients, regardless of size, that they in general are unfamiliar with business infrastructure?
I think the larger clients are familiar with business infrastructure, but I think they overlook it. It is something that's in the background, something that exists and you can't actually see it. So therefore it's overlooked. I think smaller business aren't necessarily aware, because when you're a small business, you don't necessarily need it when you're starting out. It's when you want to grow. Mm-hmm. And sustain that growth is when you start to feel the pain of not having a defined business infrastructure in place.
I'm so glad you said that, because I often tell people this does not work for startups, because when you're starting up a company, it's all about the marketing and the sales and promotion. You're trying to get the word out about your product or service. And you're right, it's not until you start to realize some type of, let's say, a return on investment of those dollars that have been invested in those marketing and sales activities, that you realize, oh my gosh, I have clients coming in, the business is coming in fast and furious, and things are beginning to become chaotic. And unless we put some structure in place, I can lose what I've worked so hard to build.
Absolutely.
Now that you've heard from me and Paul, I'm sure you've come to realize that business infrastructure is a constant balancing act of people, processes, and tools. You didn't build your business overnight, so you likely won't improve it overnight either. No, it's not a quick and easy solution, but neither is running your business, right? But keep in mind what Martin Luther King Jr. said. Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. Listening to this podcast and acting on the advice offered by me and my guests is that proverbial first step. And here are some additional resources that I recommend that you read on your growth journey. The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. The Goal by Eliyahu Goldratt. The Toyota Way by Jeffrey Liker. Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. I also recommend my book, Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success. It explains in detail my Kasinu methodology and how to apply it to your business. If you visit businessinfrastructure.tv, you'll see an image that I've created that shows the order in which I recommend reading the books that I just mentioned. Just make sure you go to this particular episode and take a peek at the show notes. You'll also be able to watch a short 2 to 3 minute video that explains the Kasinu methodology. And last, I'll also have a link to a free report that you can download to learn more about applying the business process element of the Kasinu methodology to increase cash flow. Again, all of this is available at businessinfrastructure.tv. I cannot close out this season without extending a very special thank you to all of my guests this season. I learned so much from them, and I'm sure you did too. I also want to thank you for listening and subscribing and connecting with me online. If you enjoyed hearing what Paul Nicolaides had to say, wait until you hear his full interview in season 4. In fact, he's actually going to be kicking off season 4. And I'm so excited because we have some amazing guests lined up, ready and willing to share specific examples about how they used business infrastructure to solve a particular business problem. The theme is called How I Did It. So be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe so that you'll receive an alert when season 4 premieres. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. My handle is at Alicia Butler Pierre, or sometimes it may just be Alicia B. Pierre. And I will be posting announcements about season 4. Your support is extremely encouraging. Based on your feedback, my team has already made some important changes to the businessinfrastructure.tv site, and more is to come. Change for the better, for sure. We are doing everything we can to close the knowledge gap so that the old "you don't know what you don't know" will become a thing of the past. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you in season 4.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.